Here's to Your Health, a contemporary Catholic health program that brings you the latest in healthcare trends and breakthroughs. Join Dr. Carla Calumet every Wednesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. And now, here's to your health.
Welcome to Here's to Your Health. I'm Dr. Carla, and I'm really excited to bring to our listeners today Dr. Sam Byrne. He's been in private practice in New Mexico for over 25 years, where he works with patients to improve their vision and overall wellness through holistic methods. And so his protocols take a proactive rather than reactive approach to health and wellness, and he understands and treats the body as one integrated system rather than independent organs in order to further identify and address the root causes of disease. So I want to welcome you, Dr. Sam, to our show today.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me, Carla.
You bet. You know, the eyes are so important, and yet I think we tend to take them for granted. And so I know that people that are listening are going to have a lot of questions, but, you know, let's start at the beginning, like, you know, from infancy up through adulthood, what your recommendations are for checking on your eyes.
Well, when you go for an eye exam, it's important to note that reading the distance eye chart, which is the 20/20 measurement, is our eyesight, and it's one aspect of vision. So when you go for an eye exam, especially, you know, when parents bring their children, you want to test things like visual skills, visual tracking, visual coordination, visual focusing, because vision is really how the eyes and the brain and the body work together, and this is the key in how children learn to read and then read to learn. So that's kind of through, you know, adolescence. And then as we get older, it's important to have our eye health checked, especially for conditions like macular degeneration, cataracts, and glaucoma. And these are the big three. And usually when you go to an eye doctor, you know, if they find this kind of a disease, they say, well, we'll watch it, we'll monitor it. And this is where patients can be proactive and ask questions about, well, can I do things with my diet, lifestyle, stress reduction, to improve my vision? And in my case, definitely you can do many things proactively to improve your vision if you get this kind of a diagnosis.
So going back to the childhood part, what would parents most observe in their children because usually children don't have their eyes screened, you know, until kindergarten, I'm thinking, maybe preschool, I'm not sure, but yet we see some little ones that have glasses on, and I'm just thinking, how were they able to identify the need for glasses in, like, a three-year-old?
Well, to look at things observationally, so I'll start with the little older kids, and then we'll go back.
Okay.
So with kids looking for behaviors like skipping words, losing your place, covering one eye, having some eye strain or eye fatigue. You know, I used to say to school nurses, the best way to observe children to see if they have vision problems is give them a book to read and observe, you know, their face, and if they pull the book in closer than, you know, 12 to 14 inches, or they skip words or lose their place. These are behaviors that would suggest a vision problem.
Sure.
But, you know, if we go back to prenatal development, mm-hmm. the eyes actually originate from brain tissue. So every structure of the eyeball is related to the brain. And I work with a lot of kids, you know, even I'll do eye exams in the infants, you know, early stages, because our motor development actually stimulates our visual development. So
okay.
When we learn things like skipping or hopping or even crawling, these are precursors for learning to develop our vision. So my eye exam involves looking at how a young child is motoring, you know, how they coordinate both sides of their body, how they balance, how they hop and skip. And those tell me how the visual system is going to develop. And if there's a problem in the motor area, we do physical eye therapy exercises to improve the motor development, and that sets up the visual development to develop in a more normal way.
Oh, very interesting. So another question I have is the whole the use of technology and how many little ones, you know, of all ages actually, have, you know, iPads and things like that, smartphones, you know, put in, you know, to watch in the car seat, et cetera, to occupy them. And what's that doing? What do you feel the impact is on their eyes, if any?
Like, I get this question a lot. And the first thing to note is that a child's pigment that blocks the blue light, the damaging blue light, mm-hmm. and this pigment occurs in the lens of the eye, it does not fully develop till age 9.
Okay.
So when you have children under the age of 9 that are using any kind of digital device, first of all, they're getting that chaotic blue light into their eyes, which could be damaging.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, it's just the idea of focusing at one distance for long periods of time puts a lot of eye stress on these young folks. And so I recommend at least getting outside in nature, taking a walk, you know, interacting in the bigger visual space and not just using digital. I think it's very negative, and we're going to start to see more and more in the mainstream research mm-hmm. the negative effects of blue light on our eyes, and we're already seeing it on our health.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that at the very least, if we need to, you wear blue blocking glasses. You know, there's certain dietary things you can do, like making sure you're getting enough of the carotenoids, lutein, zeaxanthin, and astaxanthin. These protect our eyes from the negative blue light that is definitely impacting all of us, but especially children.
And so what foods would contain the vitamins and
okay.
what you've just mentioned?
Well, I recommend mostly a plant-based diet. I always talk about the rainbow of vegetables and fruits, anti-inflammatory foods. But the specifics would be things like spinach and kale, cruciferous vegetables, red and orange yellow bell peppers, blueberries and strawberries, avocados. So you want to make sure you're getting your healthy fats and these antioxidants. And, you know, make sure you're getting a probiotic. You know, I've seen a real connection between gut inflammation and eye problems.
Oh, so, that's interesting.
You know, the way I see it is the eyes are so interrelated to our whole body, mm-hmm. especially if we get an eye problem, there's probably some systemic and metabolic reason why our eyes are letting us down. So we want to just blame it on the eyeball, but it's actually what's behind the eyeball. It's our diet and our stress and inflammation and oxidative stress throughout our whole body mm-hmm. that actually affects our eye health.
And we definitely in the Western culture have a very high inflammatory diet that people really need to be mindful of what they eat. So we talk about that quite a bit on Here's to Your Health. Our listeners are probably saying, oh, yeah, we heard about this before, because it's just so important. Food is medicinal to us, and so the foods that we can eat to help promote good health. You know, it's interesting when you mention about the probiotics and the gut health, because they're finding so much more. I had just gotten a journal article talking about psychobiotics and the relationship to the brain, and then the discussion you've probably read that the gut is the second brain. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
So it's really interesting that as an eye physician, that you are also relating that gut health to eye health. You know, you mentioned about the glaucoma. Is glaucoma something that is considered to be genetic, or is it just an environmental or health-induced problem?
All right. Well, the first thing to know, at least in my practice, I talk about that we don't have to live out our genetic destiny.
Okay.
That there's something called epigenetics, that the environment informs the genes to express in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
With glaucoma, this is a vascular disease in the eye. So we're either not producing enough fluid in the eye, or the flow of the fluid is being impeded. There are many reasons why we develop glaucoma. Actually, a lot of the ones that I've seen is the people have been exposed to environmental toxicities, heavy
okay.
metal toxicities, environmental toxicities like glyphosate and other environmental things like that. Mm-hmm. Also, if we've taken pharmaceutical drugs, things like steroids can actually bring our pressure, raise it up.
Okay.
Head trauma is another reason why we can develop glaucoma, oxidative stress. So there are many reasons for developing glaucoma, and the key is to protect your optic nerve health. And the best way to do that is making sure you're getting enough omega-3 fatty acids. This has been shown in a variety of research studies to protect the optic nerve. And physical eye therapy exercises, I've developed a whole program on my website that's free, and you can go to the glaucoma section, and there's a whole physical eye therapy program, because the key in glaucoma is improving the lymph and the eye circulation, and also using natural eye drops. There's one that I use called MSM, and that actually has been found to improve collagen health, reduce inflammation, and that can be a real nice support if you've been diagnosed with glaucoma. It's a very scary disease, and, you know, when the doctor says, well, we're going to do surgery, or, you know, it's only going to get worse, that's not really true. There are very many proactive things you can do to neutralize the glaucoma pattern.
So I want to remind our listeners, we're talking with Dr. Sam Byrne, who is a integrative eye practitioner here on Here's to Your Health with Dr. Carla. And can you give our listeners your website so that they can find that information, Dr. Sam?
Very simple. It's drsambyrne.com, drsambyrne.com.
And that's B-E-R-N-E,
R-N-E.
Right? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that entering my website will take you to many, many free videos. I put out probably 8 to 10 videos a week free. I have a free podcast where people can ask questions. I do a Facebook Live every Wednesday night that's free, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, 7 p.m. Central Time. So I've made myself available to the community, and it's all free. I'm not charging anything, because I really want to disseminate this information. Most people are really struggling with their eyes, and they have nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been at this for a long time, and this information needs to get out there.
Well, we're really happy that you could join us today on Here's to Your Health. And we will have the podcast available on our website. And then also we can send one to you, Dr. Sam, if you want to have that on your website as well.
Yes, definitely send it.
Sure. Another thing is, a lot of people have cataracts as they age. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about cataracts? And then I'd like you to also talk about the macular pucker that can happen as a result of cataract surgery. Can you visit
okay,
about
let's,
that?
Okay, let's start with cataracts.
Okay.
So a cataract is basically an accumulation of metabolic waste,
mm-hmm.
oxidative stress, free radicals, that accumulate in the lens of the eye. So the lens is avascular, so it relies on its nutrient support indirectly. There are no blood vessels that go to the lens of the eye.
Okay.
So as you start developing a cataract, the normal way of dealing with it is to get surgery. Well, there are actually studies that show there's a connection between glutathione levels and the development of cataracts. So if you increase your glutathione levels, that could be a way to reduce the cataract and improve lens health. Vitamin C is another ingredient that has been shown in research that when you're low in vitamin C, you have a higher risk of developing cataracts. So there are many different techniques that I've developed to help people reverse early and moderate stage cataracts. There's actually an eye drop out there that I use that's homeopathic that can help dissolve early stage cataracts.
And just for our listeners, homeopathy, the first MD to come to the United States was a homeopathic physician from the UK. Can you explain to our listeners when you say it's homeopathic, is what that means?
Yeah, so what this eye drop is doing is it's stimulating a person's own lymphatic and immune system in the lens of the eye.
Okay.
So it stimulates our own ability to reverse disease. And this is very potent because, unlike medications, pharmaceuticals, those are treating symptoms. They're made synthetically, and they actually take us further away from our ability to heal our eyes and our body. So this is very powerful to know this. And using plants, herbs, and other, you know, plant-based medicines, we are now engaging the eyes and the body to heal. And this is unheard of because we've just been told to take pharmaceuticals as a way to, you know, to treat symptoms.
Sure. And while pharmaceuticals can have their place, the other part of that is they often come with negative side effects.
And I use pharmaceuticals. To me, holistic means using the whole spectrum.
Right.
But I'm very careful in the dosage, and I'm always moving people towards more natural remedies. So I think both are valid, but I think sometimes the pharmaceuticals are overused.
Uh-huh.
I want to talk about the macular pucker because I have actually had great success at reversing that condition, and I have testimonials on my website. So the macula is the center part of the retina where we see detail and color vision.
Right.
The vitreous, which is the jelly-like part of the eye, it's a gel sac that sits in front of the retina. When it begins to shrink, it starts to pull on the retina, and this creates a wrinkling, especially in the macula area, and this is what a macular pucker is.
Okay.
So if you start addressing the vitreous health, improving the collagen, by getting more oxygenation and hydration in the vitreous and the retina, many times, as the vitreous gets healthier, it stops pulling or creating traction on the macula, and the wrinkle goes away.
So is the omega-3 a part of that as well, getting omega-3?
Well, I would say that omega-3 is definitely part of it, and you talked about the inflammation, the omega-3, 6, 9, and we're usually getting too much omega-6 and not enough omega-3. I also think that using things to improve collagen health, MSM eye drops are certainly part of that. But I also would address the macula by giving it more lutein and zeaxanthin and probably astaxanthin because these carotenoids actually support a healthy macula. And many people are deficient in these very important carotenoids. Also, blue light exposure. This is going to really attack the macula. So the lutein zeaxanthin helps protect us against the blue light. Ultraviolet light is another issue that can affect the macula. We have to look at inflammation as well, and stress, and toxicity. But if you address the vitreous in terms of improving its health and so that it isn't shrinking again, this can stop the pulling and the traction on the macula.
See, and so often people hear that as people age that their vitreous is just going to do that, shrink. But what I'm hearing you say is that's not necessarily so if you have good health, right?
Exactly. See, we want to blame it on aging, mm-hmm. and yet how come in my practice, my folks in the 70s and the 80s, they're dissolving their cataracts, they're improving macular degeneration, they're getting off their bifocals. So if you give the body proper nutrients that we can at least neutralize some of the aging effects, we just can't blame it on age. It doesn't fly. It's a myth.
Yeah, I agree. I think that so many things can be helped. You know, years ago, the CDC came out with a study showing what determines health, and exactly to what you said, 70% was lifestyle and environment, 25% was genetics, and then you had 5% medical care. And so you have a lot of ability within that 70% to determine flipping on or off genes, right?
Exactly.
Such as in diabetes mm-hmm. type 2. And I want to be sure to mention that before we run out of time. So often you hear about the retinopathy associated with type 1 and type 2 diabetes. So what do you tell your patients who have that condition, how they can be proactive?
Well, first of all, you know, the retina has the highest metabolic need of the body, and it's made up of microcapillaries. And so one of the ways to strengthen the microcapillaries, of course, is what's going on in our insulin glucose levels. And this is why I work very closely with naturopathic physicians and functional medicine doctors. And, you know, there are other diets out there, and I'm not proposing one or the other. There's the ketogenic diet. There's the paleo diet. But in any case, going to a functional medicine doctor, the doctor can assess your diet and what you're eating, and that's going to have a profound effect on your eyes. But in terms of eye health, it's important to, you know, remember things like bilberry. Bilberry is such a great herb for retinal circulation and retinal health. The taurine, which is an amino acid, is also really important for eye health. Vitamin A, vitamin E, the omega-3 fatty acids, and then back to the carotenoids, lutein, zeaxanthin, and astaxanthin. I do something called color therapy on the eyes, where people look at different colors, and sometimes that can help the retinal health improve, especially if you've got any kind of retinopathy, whether it's hypertensive, diabetic retinopathy, and other retinopathies. So there are many techniques that you can do to improve retinal health. I think the key is, you know, figuring out what's going on in your biochemistry and getting that supported, and then doing some very specific targeted things to improve your eye health, especially the retina.
And again, that's going back to getting to the root cause of the problem. Or isn't that more or less origin medicine, getting to the origin of the problem and being proactive rather than the reactive?
Absolutely. And going back to that origin medicine, you know, what foods did we eat back then, you know, versus now, all these processed foods and GMO and pesticides and things like that. So we have to be more adept and artful in managing our health and going to more holistic people that can address the cause instead of just treating the symptom.
Yes, and I want to remind everyone, we're listening to Dr. Sam Byrne, who is an integrative eye practitioner, and you're listening to Here's to Your Health with Dr. Carla. It's so interesting because Hippocrates said years, you know, how many years ago, let food be thy medicine. And basically what I'm hearing you say is there's just a lot of vitamins and that we get through these foods that can really help to address our eye health problems. And the cataract really is interesting. I've never really heard that it's the waste that accumulates there.
It's a metabolic waste. And actually, you know, the water flow in the lens of the eye, you know, in 2010, there was a research study published in Investigative Ophthalmology, and researchers found that there's actually ions in the lens of the eye that push the toxins out through the water flow, and then extracellularly, the water flow brings in the nutrients. And so if you can improve this dynamic, and certainly antioxidants, specifically sulfur-rich foods, glutathione, vitamin C, omega-3 fatty acids, you know, when I first started in practice, I didn't know very much, and I just told people to improve their diet. And in a couple months, they'd come back and they'd say, "Dr. Byrne, my eyes are—I'm seeing clear. I'm doing better." And then when I started studying Chinese medicine, I recognized how the internal organ, the liver, actually influences the eye. That there's meridians that go there. So if we clean up our liver, if we do a detox, this also can improve our eyesight.
Very interesting.
Yeah, these are the connections that we make with our eyes, our brain, and our body that I think in, you know, my colleagues in allopathic eye care, we're too busy. We're not looking at those connections. But I started looking at them very on, and I was blown away about, you know, liver and eyes, lymph and eyes, stress and eyes, and diet and eyes. And, you know, you can maintain your eyes for a very long time without, you know, having to deal with disease and deterioration.
I have one other question. I'm thinking with herbal use really having increased here in the United States, a lot of people, when they get sick, they'll take oregano oil or ashwagandha or astragalus root. Things. Do you have any concerns about those and the impact on the eyes with short-term use?
No. I think people need to do their homework around the sources and try to get organic as much as possible and listen to their body if they take these things, because if you take too much of it, it can trigger a detox reaction, so you have to monitor that. One of my favorite herbs is eyebright, and eyebright is something that I use for dry eye syndrome. I use it for conjunctivitis, and I have people make up a tea with it, and then I have them cool it off and use it as a compress over the eyes. And eyebright has been shown to actually have anti-inflammatory properties. You can drink it, and it's a great herb for the eyes.
So now, when people go to your website, which is www.drsamberne.com, can they find any products there that they can try that you've mentioned?
Yes. So the first thing that they can do is they can type in their condition or what their curiosity is, and that's going to take them to many videos. So the education is my number one consideration. So they get to learn about a different method. And mostly what I like people to do is change their diet, reduce their stress, improve their lifestyle, have a real conversation with their eye doctor about certain eyeglass prescriptions. For example, I don't recommend progressive or invisible bifocals because that teaches you to tunnel your eyes and it puts a lot of stress on them, especially if you're using a computer or an iPhone, so you get a single vision lens. Okay. Blue blocking glasses are another thing you can talk to your doctor about. So I'm educating people on how to work with their eye doctor and change their diet, do those kinds of things. And then there are other things that will take them through the website once they get to know me a little better.
Wonderful. Well, we are down to our last minute. Is there anything that we haven't discussed that you would like our listeners to hear?
Well, I would like to leave your listeners with the following, and that is that, number one, you can improve your vision at any age. And if you've been given a diagnosis, there are things that you can do proactively to reverse it.
Okay.
Number two, that if you just do a few minutes of eye exercises that I recommend, that discharges the eye stress. And that in itself will improve your eye circulation and give you better eye clarity. Last but not least, take your glasses off in non-threatening and non-demanding situations, and over time, your eyes will improve.
All right. Well, you've heard it from Dr. Sam Byrne, and we thank you for joining us on Here's to Your Health today. I'm Dr. Carla, and we'll see you next week. Thank you for listening.
Here's to Your Health, a contemporary Catholic health program that brings you the latest in healthcare trends and breakthroughs. Join Dr. Carla Calumet every Wednesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Live your life for God. Here's to your health.